Carlin Raffey. Got it. Who's the research affiliations coordinator for the Virginia Commonwealth University Massey Cancer Center. She manages the extension of cancer information and research to the community and develops outreach activities in response to community-identified cancer needs through community partnerships. She is the principal investigator on multiple community-based projects assessing health resources and needs and developing responsive, evidence-based interventions. Her areas of expertise include cancer and clinical trials education, nutritional science, and community-engaged research.
Hi, glad to see everybody now. Thank you for being here to listen to this presentation. I'm going to talk about a project that we did in the state of Virginia to assess the cancer resources and gaps in four health districts in the south side and southern communities of the state of Virginia, and give a couple of examples of some of the outcomes of that. And listed here are my co-authors, I guess, and individuals who have worked real hard on this project, so I want to give credit to them. I have nothing to disclose in terms of financial relationships related to this presentation. So in late 2010, we were funded by the Tobacco Indemnification and Community Revitalization Commission to perform a comprehensive cancer assessment of four health districts that reside within the tobacco-affected county area, which is the area of focus of this commission. And the idea was to perform this assessment, but most particularly to mobilize resources into the South Side and Southwest, and mobilize individuals and organizations to take action related to some of the findings. And you'll see those green and brown counties are what's considered tobacco-affected counties by the Tobacco Commission. They were either tobacco-producing areas within the state. So Southside and Southwest Virginia have some significant cancer disparities in the state of Virginia when you compare those communities to the rest of Virginia or the other counties. And so in terms of cancer incidence, if you look at cancer as a whole, incidence rates of cancer as a whole are higher in the Southside and Southwest counties than they are in all the other counties, or if you compare it to Virginia as a whole. And then if you look at the specific cancer sites, you see a similar pattern, that you have higher incidence rates of breast, colorectal, lung, melanoma, prostate cancers in those communities. But, of course, more disturbing is the fact that the mortality rates also are higher. So you have both increase in incidence rates of cancers as well as increased mortality rates in Southside and Southwest Virginia counties, both taken as a whole or taken as individual cancer sites. So it was apropos that we should do this assessment in those communities. So I want to talk just a little bit about the framework we used for our assessment. And so the general framework we used was this cancer control continuum framework. And this framework looks at cancer control from starting at the prevention end, of what are the community's attitudes and actions related to healthy lifestyles and screening behaviors, et cetera, access and behaviors around detection, how easily are individuals diagnosed, are they diagnosed correctly, on into treatment and survivorship. And this is a simplified model or framework to view plans, set priorities, evaluate progress, and also to identify where resources are needed. But it certainly is a simplified model. We wanted to incorporate some other more detailed evaluation that you can find within another model, the cancer care continuum model, which really deals and looks at what happens to an individual or what are the processes within the healthcare system once an individual is in the healthcare system and they're going along that cancer care continuum and some of the details related to those processes. In particular, we needed to look at some of the transitions in care that occur inside the healthcare continuum, specifically from primary identification of an individual needs to be screened, what happens from that recommendation to screening to the actual screening and detection of the cancer. Once an individual is diagnosed, what happens in that transition from diagnosis moving into treatment, And thirdly, once an individual has been treated and they're coming, and in this case, coming back into their community for cancer survivorship care, what were some of what's happening with those transitions from care back into the community? And of course, this model focuses on impacting patient outcomes as well as population-based outcomes. And we were looking at large population data, so we felt that this it was important to incorporate some of these evaluations in our model. So I put this visual here just as a visual of the various influences that can impact an individual who's in the cancer care continuum. So you have an individual living within a community, a local community and local community environment, and there are lots of aspects you can look at in that local community environment that might be impacting that individual. But they also have family and social support. They also have their primary care physicians and how are they relating with those, as well as the organizations with which exist within their environment that are providing care and support. And all of these various levels within a community can impact one another, so what's happening in those levels. And so in our assessment, we looked at various aspects within the local community environment, organizational environment, family, social supports, et cetera. And our interventions, actually, many of them had interventions that targeted multiple levels to have a greater impact. And I'm hoping at the end to give you some examples of that so you can see what I mean. So what did we do? So just the way that we did this assessment, the assessment itself was overseen by a statewide advisory committee. And so many of the people who were on that statewide advisory committee were also participants in our State Cancer Action Coalition, which the State Cancer Action Coalition works with our Department of Health to develop a 5-year state plan, and then the coalition members work together to do statewide projects to impact cancer control in the community. So these were individuals who had a really nice state perspective that helped us design and implement this process. The university setting, our university, actually had an academic core team which supported the data analysis, some of the research methodologies, et cetera, to produce the actual report. But the real work of assessment occurred, I think, in a really unique way. We hired local individuals, residents of those communities, to perform the major data collection as well as the dissemination of that data, and they functioned the year afterwards organizing the actions and mobilizing their community to action. And we have our four assessment coordinators sitting right here with us. So they're all here. You'll see their pictures. They're sitting in the audience if you'd like to talk to them afterwards about their experience. I think that was key in some of the things that we were able to accomplish. So what did we evaluate? So we worked very closely with the Cancer Registry. Matter of fact, the Cancer Registrar was one of our, State Cancer Registrar was one of our advisory committee members and on our core team to gather burden and incident data to give a picture of what cancer looked like in these communities at a health district level. We also directly communicated with the healthcare facilities, all the healthcare facilities within the health districts, and we had a questionnaire that asked questions related to their screening and treatment options there at their hospitals, what kind of care they were providing, as well as their auxiliary care, genetic testing, palliative care, supportive services, education, et cetera. We identified the community resources within these communities and also queried them about the activities they had and other questions. In addition, to get the medical perspective, we did key leader interviews, so identified key medical leaders within these communities, and these would be individuals who were long-term residents, who were active in their communities and known as active in their communities and had a broad-based understanding of the healthcare needs in their community, including cancer. And then we did questionnaires to all of the primary care physicians within the community who might touch a patient either for recommendation, their diagnosis of cancer, or receive patients back into their care post-cancer treatment. And then in order to get a picture and hear the voice of the population, we used some national databases. So we used the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey, the results specific to those communities that related to lifestyle behaviors of the community, screening behaviors, and as well as access to health care. And we did focus groups. So we did focus groups particularly with the general population, targeting a focus group in every county, as well as with cancer survivors to get a perspective on their experiences with cancer. And most of this work was done by these women out there, so they had a lot of work. And here they are. These are pictures of the ladies and just ladies because they happen to be ladies, not because we were exclusive. But they were all highly trained individuals in their own professions. We provided some training and support related to how to collect focus group data, conduct focus groups, et cetera, so that kind of technical training. But what they really brought to the table was a knowledge of their communities and access to their communities, which I think is important. So people listened to them and opened up to them. So I think I'm going to jump forward. I wanted this slide to be first. So some of the findings, why did we do this at the health district level and at each individual health districts? Because, of course, every community has their unique situation. And so we wanted to have a manageable geographic area that we were using for our assessment. Health departments were a logical choice because our Department of Health also bases their activities around health department statistics. So we did it that way, but they were very unique. What I have here is some of the general findings that could be generalized across all four health districts. These are rural communities. Most of the area within these communities are designated as medically underserved, so some of the findings aren't necessarily surprising. In terms of prevention, a generalized need for more public education around healthy lifestyles, as well as around screening behaviors and taking care of your own health. Identified need or positive intervention methodology to use community campaigns to shift community ideas or community attitudes about things. And then tobacco use was a big one. Tobacco use policies in this area of Virginia that had some particular attitudes about tobacco because of the historical growing of tobacco, et cetera, in those areas. Detection and diagnosis was to improve patient access, absolutely, but to also get primary care physicians giving appropriate referrals to screenings for early detection, and then increase compliance of patients when they are referred, as well as more primary care providers. So lack of health care providers in these areas was across all health districts. In terms of treatment, more oncologists, more oncology care, more treatment centers, more access to treatment, as well as access to clinical trials. And finally, patient survivorship, a real need. Most of the patient support was coming from faith-based organizations and family members. There was a lack of organized support services for cancer patients and their caregivers, as well as continuing education for primary care physicians in how to manage the survivorship care of cancer patients coming back into their communities, increased use of palliative care and hospice, and some of the attitudes around palliative care and hospice. Are we getting close?
3 to 4 minutes.
Oh, my God. All right. Transitions in care, that was kind of an important one for us. One was coalitions. Coalitions for what? Coalitions for communication. Communication of healthcare facilities with primary care for survivors, with community resources, so everyone knows what everyone was doing. That was a big finding. Patient navigation came out really big, and transportation, big for this community. So just real quick, the dissemination piece was key. We did targeted dissemination of these findings. We prepared PowerPoints for these coordinators, and they got out everywhere and talked to everyone in their communities about their findings, including we went to the General Assembly and they went to talk to their legislators during the General Assembly session. We talked at academic campuses, including our own. We presented at the Cancer Action Coalition, which is our state coalition, to give a state perspective on the findings, and then they went everywhere, all of the major healthcare facilities in their community, their foundations, social groups, churches, everywhere. And that really mobilized action. So I want to point out just 4 projects that represent multi-level collaborative action at the health district level in each one of these prevention, detection, etc. So this is an example of what happened to Mount Rogers, which had a high burden of lung cancer as well as tobacco use, and that became a target for that community. This was a project which was collaborative between the cancer center there, a community college, and a 4-year college in the area to go to move towards tobacco-free policy on their campuses. It involved student and faculty education and focus groups, institutional policy change, and developing tobacco cessation support programs for those individuals who would want to quit smoking, funded by the Virginia Department of Health. So multiple collaborators hitting multiple levels in the intervention. Piedmont Health District, probably the one with the least resources, I mean, just incredibly, both treatment, education, et cetera, they had this activity related to breast cancer awareness and access to mammograms. So this was a collaboration between a local free clinic that got their own funding sources, a federally qualified health clinic and the major hospital in that area, funded through the Susan G. Komen, got together, wrote a grant for mammograms plus education throughout that community about breast cancer awareness. That was both community education and access to care. Pittsylvania Danville has done some wonderful work. Susan Mathena from that area. Patient navigation was a big one for all of our communities. In this case, it was a collaboration between the three hospitals that served the Pittsylvania Danville, two of which were outside of the health district. They got together, they formed a coalition, an organization, the Dan River Patient Navigation Network. For what? For the purpose of educating themselves and their administrators around patient navigation and to figure out how they were going to set up a patient navigation within that area. So it involved education of the administration, policy change in the administration, as well as that eventually became that funding through the Department of Health to do something statewide through the Cancer Action Coalition of Virginia on the website, registering patient navigators on this website statewide. So, and that's doing wonderful things, and if you'd like to talk to her about what she's done. Finally, Crater Health District, the Emporia area really had, they had cancer care but no cancer support services. And here, the local hospital, the auxiliary from the hospital, and the American Cancer Society partnered to provide cancer support services in the form of the Look Good Feel Better program with ACS. So this had never existed in that community. As a matter of fact, minimal resources. They got 12 cosmetologists from the area to get trained in the Look Good Feel Better program and now are regularly offering this program for patients receiving cancer treatment in their facility. And that was voluntary as well as support from the American Cancer Society. So just four examples of some of the work that resulted from this, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Many, many things have been happening in those communities because of this model. So I think in conclusion, assessment of community cancer resources and gaps with an organizational framework of the cancer control and cancer care continuum is effective in providing community organizations with direction towards locally relevant effective action to reduce risk, remove barriers, and care to improve cancer outcomes. Key to this, local assessment coordinators. I can't say more about how that was very important to both support them, fund them, give them the time to be out there doing that work, strategic dissemination of the findings, very, very broad dissemination, and then community coalition building for action. Thank you. And then here, lots and lots of people worked on this project. So this is just a few of them that were part of the core team and the advisory committee. Any questions? So what happened in this situation, a lot of times what happened was that patients would go out of their health district for care. And we did find, as part of the questionnaire to our physicians, our primary care physicians, one of the questions we asked was, what's the communication like of patients coming back into your care? And I think we found in general between 35 and 40% of those primary care physicians said that they rarely got adequate communication. So there is definitely a communication problem. At our own institution, because we receive some of those patients, we're working very hard to develop a cancer care plan, cancer survivorship care plan, and processes for what kind of information from cancer treatment with a patient returning back into their community needs to get back into the hands of both the patient and the primary care physician that is going to be caring for them. But hopefully we'll be able to work with the Cancer Action Coalition of Virginia, who has members from all of the major health cancer providers, to get all of our institutions doing the same thing for that effective communication for follow-up care. It was not. It was funded through the Tobacco Indemnification and Revitalization Commission, which is the commission that manages the kind of the funds that have come from tobacco. Master Settlement Agreement. And this actually was the first time they had funded something like this. Normally they're funding economic-based projects, and it took us a long time to convince them that actually this is something they should be funding for these communities. So there were no navigators in any of these hospitals. So they got together, primarily by Susan's constant pounding, to say, look, this assessment shows we need patient navigation. Let's get together. Let's talk about patient navigation. She herself had received training around patient navigation. And so she pulled them together and made them begin a conversation about the patient navigation needs. From that, they formed this network, and actually, they've just hired, one of the hospitals has just hired Susan to set up their patient navigation program. So, and I think this is going to have significant impact on that community and the surrounding communities. So I think it was really just making the hospitals address the issue of the need for patient navigation. At the state level, we also have a Virginia patient navigation coalition that has come together to try to begin defining what patient navigation should look like in the state of Virginia. Certification, all of those questions, I think, that on a national scale are still being discussed. If you'd like to, you can talk to Susan a little bit more about the details of what she's done. Anything else? Thank you.